Everyone, it's episode 404 of This Is Whole Life. Every week we dig a little bit deeper. Even if we're one shovel down, we continue on.
I feel like we're several shovels down. It's just me and Randy today. Ken and Randy.
It's the Ken and...
Everybody else has abandoned us.
That seat over there just looks so ominous. Now it does, doesn't it? With the new lighting here in my office / studio.
That's a good point.
It's nice and...
Even more ominous.
Yeah, it's nice and bright. It's a daylight color, which I like. The other one makes me want to take a nap. This one makes sure I'm awake at all times. So this past week, we had a guest speaker for the second week in a row.
We should probably acknowledge why Melanie's not here, right?
Should we?
I feel like we should.
Well, okay, go ahead. You.
She's just hard at work on that dissertation
she's trying to get that
cranked out. We said, you know what? We want to give you a week or two just to
get it done,
get it finished. She already sent it through her first reader, and now just making some adjustments on it. So
we saw great.
Melanie, you're probably listening to this.
You probably are. Because you need a break.
For you.
Yeah.
praying you come back soon.
we saw you're in deep when it's like you have socks on your feet, you've got some kind of comfy pants on, you've got a bathrobe and a hair clippy, a giant hair clip in the back, and you are sitting at your table with your legs up, your laptop on your lap, and a big screen in front of you full of words that I probably don't know a third of. And I'm thinking to myself, ouch.
Yeah, we got sent that
this morning.
Proof of work.
that
came to Randy and I. So
just
so that I guess we wouldn't feel too lonely while we're doing the.
Another, at least this week. Hopefully back soon.
Yeah.
Hopefully back soon. Well, during first service, I don't know that Whole Life members don't miss church. That's all
no,
I'm going to say.
Of course not.
So Cecilia and Razan, any idea where they were checking in from this week?
Oh, man, those two could be checking in from
anywhere.
Right? I could see, I don't know, Ireland? I mean.
Well, I should have been more specific. Well, where, yeah. I don't know exactly where, but somewhere on the big pond, they were on a cruise ship during first service, and they were checking in, watching church.
That's what I'm talking about. There's no reason why you can't. We put it out there.
That's right.
It is there for you no matter where you are in the world. If you have Wi-Fi, you are good to go.
And you know what? Chew up your data plan. It's all unlimited these days.
And even if it weren't, I mean, can you really put a price tag on what...
On missing church.
I just like heard that remember the what is it when you're connecting to the ding they remember, you know what? back in the days, right?
Oh, the dial up
AOL
AOL. I had AOL for a short time when I lived with some relatives and they had AOL. You've got mail.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was the only time.
But good for you. Good for them for listening in. And a lot of people listening to this are tuning in from all over the place. So.
Absolutely. There was Maine.
North Carolina.
Yeah, there's always.
Probably some people in Wisconsin.
Probably. Fort Myers, Nashville.
Washington State. Yeah.
There was people tuned in. But I'm always like, when the people actually go on vacation and then tell us where they're watching from on vacation, that's always fun.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We don't feel jealous or anything.
No, put a smile on our collective faces.
Absolutely.
For the Whole Life online family this week. All right, now we are going back again. Last week we hit socioeconomic episode feedback and we had one more. And it wasn't that I missed it the first time. Mm. It was just that I forgot to include it. So it's kind of like the car reservation. You know how to
How is that not missing it, Randy?
Well, I know how to take the reservation. I just don't know how to hold
the
reservation.
Okay.
So that's
really, gotcha.
That was really. So it started out with across socioeconomic landmines. It said, Jesus is our great denominator who, yes, made us all and can take all away. The, and in quotes, the eye of the needle could be thought of as anyone who keeps their eye on Jesus and seeks heavenly blessings. When I choose to focus on exactly what drawer knobs I need in my gorgeous bathroom to a wide audience, I will repel. The distraction may also cause me to miss who I can bless today. When I, the less fortunate, choose to focus on the wealth someone else has or the fact that an individual doesn't have to work, it repels themselves. It also repels gratitude to God who gives. It repels an opportunity to proclaim how God has blessed me. not blessed me monetarily, but relationally. And that was from Jesus Junkie. P.S. There are souls around the corner from everyone who are renting from slumlords who will never fix their one bathroom sink. How distracted are we? We did talk about that, didn't we?
We sure did.
In that message. But I do like the main focus, Jesus Junkie, thank you for sending that text in. My apologies for missing it the week prior, but we had Mel and Lois. But I love the fact that everything basically surrounded gratitude. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the attitude of gratitude, we often take that for granted as to how powerful it is for us to see that person where, you know what, could be a tinge of, oh, they're on a cruise. That could be a tinge of jealousy. But when you have an attitude of gratitude. Yeah. Well, I've never been on a cruise, so I'm not sure how jealous I am.
Oh, you should be really jealous.
Should I be really jealous?
I mean, in the best Christian way possible, right?
Of course. Yeah, of course.
I am telling you, I think I've been on two cruises total. Mm-hmm. And one was like in an interior like cabin, and the second one I had a balcony.
So,
Randy, I read 6 books over that cruise with my feet hanging on the balcony. It was
so you're saying tinge if you're down in steerage, but if you're up with the balcony, then as much as humanly
like
Christian.
Yeah, it's like in that movie about a boat that sinks.
there's
different places on the boat. Yeah.
Which
is kind of that socioeconomic thing coming back, right?
Coming back around.
Yeah.
No, I really feel like, oh man, this is probably 10 years ago. Heather and I did a prayer room for Advent Health Orlando, and it was starting. We did a 6-week prayer room that started the week before Thanksgiving, went right through into Christmas, finished up at New Year's about, and the whole thing was a season of gratitude. And ever since then, it was one of the things that's kind of changed my outlook about how even the little things, it's like, man, I am so happy because I am picturing that Cecilia and Rosanna, you guys are having a great time.
I'm super happy for them,
and
too.
I'm just like super happy that, man, that's a win because if you're a couple and you get to go and take a vacation, spend time together, that's awesome. Whether or not I enjoy cruising or whether or not I can afford to go on a vacation personally, that makes me happy.
Of course.
And so I really feel like if you don't really have the attitude of gratitude where every day, you're like, okay, woke up, score one for the good team, and then anything else I got food, there's AC here at the church, AC guys are here, they're fixing other problems that we need. So every little thing you can think of, nearly, I have a motorcycle, got me here this morning, transportation, right?
You have great lights in your office.
Oh, yeah, these lights, they changed my, and then the little LED behind it, This is
life is pretty sweet, right?
Yeah, life is pretty sweet.
And you had
overall.
I think you had 2 days where you didn't think about work at all, right?
I absolutely did not answer texts. I didn't look at emails. This weekend, when I left here Saturday afternoon, Max and I, he's now. So now if you don't see the message on the front page of the website by, say, 2:33, something like that.
We blame Max?
We blame Max now, because that's his job.
It's always important to know that. So thank you. I'm making a note on my phone so I know who to send the email to now.
So, but I'm just making sure that we've got the processes down and hanging out. And I enjoy hanging out with Max anyway. So that's another win. See, that's the attitude of gratitude.
Wins all the way around.
But after that, I was just like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to do, I'm just going to completely unplug for the entire weekend. And it wasn't until last night at about 11 o'clock when I thought, oh, you know what? We've got that book to read, and there's probably 40 or 50 pages with my name on them. So I did do that before I went to bed, but that was the only thing that I did the whole, I was pretty proud of myself. Made
proud
it all day, Sunday and Monday.
Now you've read 2 books because that was the last chapter in the book. So
that was it. That's it. Done.
Boom.
That's two or three. So well,
you've done a lot more than that.
A few more than that. And I've even recommended one. So I'm hard to impress because of all the books I've read. No, I've done 2. I did do Louis L'Amour, The Walking Drum, and the other.
That's true.
That's right. So 2 books. Oh,
2
man.
Books that you've recommended.
I forgot about that. All right. Now we better read something good this time.
Both classics, too.
Very much so. Very much so. I wouldn't disagree with that. So in the absence of our Melanie, hopefully, again, back soon. And I wish that this past week, and I don't know why, it didn't even cross my mind, and not that Justin was available, but man, I would have loved to pick Justin's brain a little bit.
Yeah.
He had a great message.
He did.
I thought And I don't know how much like overlap was there. Did you give him directions or did you just give him the topic? Because I felt like if he didn't know that he's been back watching archives.
He has. He did.
Did he really?
He did. Yeah. We didn't ask him to do it, but.
Wow.
So, yeah, I saw him out in the lobby and Melanie had left a picture of him for me. So I know who to be looking for.
Yeah.
And usually, you know, at about, you know, 7:30, 7:45 in the morning there, you know, people aren't usually just sitting in the lobby. Just for the fun of it. So, I'm sitting out there, went out and said hi. And he immediately, he knew who I was immediately. So he made some comment about, oh, yeah, I watched some of the sermons. And we'd given him, you know, an overview of what this series is about, and that we were wanting him to talk about connecting through hurt. And so clearly he did his homework and just did a great job with that sermon. If you didn't watch it, man, go back and watch it. It's great. It talks about why, it talks, and just as importantly, he really did a great job of giving really practical ways of how to connect.
Yeah. We'll go through a couple of them just because I think they're super important. And, just in case you do not get a chance to go do that. But I also felt like I was hearing themes and phrases that we talked about in the Chosen series last year and some others. And I'm like, man,
I can't speak to.
This guy's like a whole lifer.
Yeah.
It really was like.
I'm pretty sure he'll be moving from St. Louis soon.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll be here soon. I'm sure. No problem.
Everybody wants to be in Orlando.
Don't they?
Especially everybody in St. Louis. That's my theory.
Wow. If you're listening from St. Louis, podcast.
Then you want to be here.
Because I'm curious. You know, I think Max, I do though. Max, you know, he's originally from that area. And it seems like St. Louis is second to like Kansas City and some other places.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been through St. Louis, but I have not really been to St. Louis.
Have you been up in the Arch?
I have not.
What?
I have not. It was not. It was on our trip. We traveled all the way across country from Wisconsin to, and this was the year of the Winter Olympics in Calgary. So we went the summer before the Winter Olympics. We were in Banff. We went to the Olympic Park and did all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Went to Glacier National. But on the way back, we had five people in a little Chevy Eurosport pulling an Apache pop-up camper. And as a young teenager with my brother and his girlfriend in the car, that meant there was always somebody sitting in the middle in the back seat.
Yeah.
And after you've been all the way there and on the way back was when we were going to do the,
man,
you know, like, hey, you guys want to go to the Badlands? And you guys
want to go?
Do you guys want to go anywhere but home? And just want to go home.
Well, you missed out, Randy. You missed out. That was I was.
It's on my list.
It's funny though. I was saying to Justin and his wife, I was like, they'd asked if I'd been through. I said, yeah. I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time there. I went up in the Arch once, and I've, you know,
that's
familiar
barbecue
with some of your sports teams, and they're like, yeah, well, that was pretty much everything.
Oh man.
So if you live in St. Louis, educate us.
Educate. Yeah. No. Tell me a couple of things I could do after I got done with the Arch.
Yeah.
Or on my way to the Arch. I mean, I don't really know where. I mean, I've seen it, but
is it the Missouri River or I think it's the Missouri that, is it Missouri or Mississippi that flows past?
Mississippi can't go through that far, can it?
I have no idea. My geography is bad.
It starts in Minnesota, ends in Louisiana or in, yeah.
The Gulf.
In the Gulf. So that can't be that far.
I'm sure somebody will let us know what idiots we are.
Where's Melanie Winston?
Where's third grade geography at? Come on.
I'm telling you, it's somewhere in the Midwest. It's flyover country. What do we know? So whether it's flyover country or the broom closet, there can be great embarrassment when you are not prepared or you don't remember or you don't know what to do. And I thought it was funny that his first thing that out of the gate was telling the story about the coworker who had a major life issue, and the first person that they saw. It's like when you see someone you don't want to talk to for whatever reason, like, oh man, I'm in a hurry. Love you, mean it, but I have to get out of here. And I know if I even say hello, it's going to be 5 minutes. And this person just ducked into the first door available, which was a broom closet. And when he said, and they weren't the janitor,
that was funny.
That was definitely funny. But, you know, trying to avoid those in pain. And the one thing I really appreciated about Justin was I felt like...
Just one thing? There were so many things.
Well, there was so many things. This might have been the one, though, at least to start basing this conversation off of, because it's often for good reason. Not that we just don't want to talk to this person or that we don't have empathy or that we don't feel blessed by what Jesus has done for us, so we should pay it forward. It may be none of those. He said the first thing he got out of his mouth, and it was so relatable, was, what do I have to offer this person?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been in their situation. I don't know what it feels like. I haven't lived through it. So, I mean, if you haven't walked a mile in someone's shoes, do you even have the authority or the whatever to engage in that conversation? And the other part was, I don't want to say the wrong thing, which may even be even more of that, because wanting to do good is one thing. Not screwing it up or making it worse, there's nothing worse than when your intention was to say something positive and uplifting, right, or whatever. And then when you see what the person looks like after your mouth is closed, you're like, well, that didn't land like it was supposed to in any way.
I don't know at all what that feels like.
Yeah, there, well, I'll tell you, Ken, in case it ever happens to you, just be prepared, because it really is. It's demoralizing when you're, especially when your intentions were good. It's different if
it's
an off the cuff comment that was just didn't release right or whatever. But when you're really trying hard, you're like, man, I can make a difference. I feel like the Holy Spirit sent this person, and then it all goes wrong, and you spend the rest of the day feeling a lot like they do, maybe, where you're like, what happened? I don't even know what to do with this. So I thought right there he had. You knew Justin knew what he was talking about. He's lived this. He's, you know, passionate about it. But when he said understanding the hurt, I was like, oh, man, and that's going to make sure that we're going to have to listen if we're going to know what it is. Because when he used the example of Jesus and the disciples on the road after he was resurrected and they didn't recognize him, and Jesus just initiates the conversation with an obvious question. So, like, he makes it easy. He serves them up a softball over the plate. And they get a little perturbed, like, dude, where have you been living? How could anyone in this area not know what we're talking about? But it seems like Jesus made it as easy for them to respond, even in their, maybe they didn't respond in the nicest way. Kind of how I feel about that. Maybe they didn't respond even with a little sarcasm, a little, you know, what are you, crazy? Everyone knows about this. And Jesus still just hangs out and is like, hey, and that may be the hardest thing to do if you don't get the response, because it's, well, I'm trying to help.
Yeah.
And you don't sound like you're at all grateful that I've taken the time to stop and talk to you, Ken.
Which I can't imagine why you wouldn't be. I
mean, yeah.
I'm fantastic.
Exactly. And so keeping this all about the other person versus us making ourselves feel good that we're somehow going to solve this, we're going to make it. And I wish Melanie was here, because I would love to get her take on this. Is it just men that want to fix things all the time, or do the females also say, if in the same, like, hey, I want to fix this, or are they just naturally smart enough because they just say, you know, I'm going to listen?
Now you've made it a really difficult answer, because if I say that they want to fix it, then I'm saying that they're not.
Right.
So I don't know what to say to you, Randy.
I don't either, because
I think it's a human thing to want to fix, fix, particularly sadness and hurt.
Mm.
I think humanly speaking, we all want to do that. We all want to, and if we're honest, I mean, there's so many different reasons. I mean, there's the truly altruistic that we just care about the person. We don't want them to be sad or hurting. And but then there's the other part, if we're honest with ourselves, it's kind of uncomfortable to be around somebody who's hurting. To just sit there and to just listen to it. You know, it feels uncomfortable. And sometimes it's, you know, not really something we enjoy doing because, you know, you're not the one hurting. So so we can sometimes get into that mode where like, hey, just get over it already. You know, I mean, I think your time has expired for feeling the way you feel. And, I've moved on. Can't you move on? And
it's been a whole year now, hasn't it?
Yeah. Hasn't it?
Which is a total just back. Yeah. And that's not even something that you might think about.
And then we always send the not so subtle message that, you know, oh, look at so-and-so, they're so strong through this. You know, that what that sends the message is, well, you better be strong too, because, you know, if you don't keep the stiff upper lip or whatever it is, then, you know, you're not strong. So anyway, yeah, there's a lot there.
I loved how he said, set aside your perspective to hear theirs. Second, listen more, too. Let them talk, let them share so that we can understand more, so we don't have to say that other thing that we just said that doesn't do anybody. Slow down and avoid snap responses. Reserve.
That's hard for you and me, Randy.
Whoa, because it's just like, well, yeah, I can see the problem. I can totally fix that for you with just a and a right here, and then we're done.
Yep.
And that makes it easy. And reserve shock or judgments when it comes to something shocking or something that we disagree with. And you're like, oh, man, Jesus and the woman at the well, I thought he used that so well that, I mean, he goes across the barriers of religion, gender, morality, all three of these, which are huge landmines. And so it all sounds... Again, it all sounds really good. Like, man, I want to help. I want to do the right thing. I can set up aside my perspective. I can listen and not say anything if I really stop and think about it. And I won't do the snap responses, even though it's going to be natural. But then sometimes it's going to be maybe one of those three things that you have to deal with and not feel shocked or not have, well, I should probably give him my opinion on this, right? Because that would be super helpful. I don't know. And then add on top of that, helping is going to cost us something, right?
Always.
It's gonna do that. And he said, you know, we're gonna richly receive in return as we see, you know, people working through it. But man, I think we can all think of times too when you've tried to help someone and maybe you did, maybe you didn't. I'm not saying there's a positive or a negative. It may just be thanks for stopping by. I appreciate that. So maybe you just did. I mean, I appreciate, maybe that's not that I did any good, but I didn't do any damage and at least you stopped. So maybe that's something, but maybe not that you were going to ever know that you were maybe part of some type of healing or maybe that you just listened that day and that was enough to like start the ball. I don't know. So the cost, it does feel good to help someone, but as we'll find out in the comments, we want to solve problems sometimes to make ourselves feel better. How do we, what's the payoff for us? Because some people go, yeah, I'm not stepping in that landmine because what's in it? Because if I screw it up, man, that's a big negative. I don't know. It's hard to know sometimes what to do, especially if you don't. Once you know what's wrong, whoa, this is way out of my league. Should I even be listening to this? And now I have to keep this inside. And some of us may not be great secret keepers either. I don't know. This just seems like totally fraught with so many small pieces that like any one of these pieces, if you're not good at it or you've not practiced, do we all have to become Stephen ministers just to do this the right way? I don't know.
I don't think so.
No?
No.
No. I just feel like there's... What if it does go wrong?
I think being a Stephen minister is a good thing.
Sure.
But I don't think everybody has to be one. And I think that we all have our gifts. And I think there's also just the understanding that, we don't relate to everybody. I don't think we're always going to be the person that is the right person to be helping. So I think just thinking about that a little too is fine. I mean, I think we all should be more thoughtful and probably not run past it too quick. But there are also times where it's like, hey, this is probably not the person I want to be able to help through this hurt.
What if the person tells you, I mean, if you
get out of my house,
or even just like, yeah, you know, looks like you're thinking on something, or, you know, you stumble across someone who's clearly distraught or crying, and like maybe this, and they're just like, yeah, I don't want to talk, yeah. Or, you know, that, but I've seen people take that the wrong way too. Where it's like, well, fine. If you don't want to talk to me, then what do you, you know, why are you crying?
Well, I'm glad you said it, taking it the wrong way.
Did I take it the wrong way? I don't know. This one, part of me, now my wife was was one of the first Stephen ministers we had here at the church, and she went through her first commitment with it. And I saw a different person immediately after the training. I mean, it's like, was it 50 hours? It's something like that. It's a lot. And then there's follow-up and continuing to learn and all that. And I saw a different person that really got good at listening and just like not saying anything, to the point where it's like, what do you think? And it's like, well, you did, you know, oh, you're asking. Well, and even then it's like this train. But then also I know when you have that person on the other side that's really distraught, it's even tough. It's even tough for them to not give advice and to just be that listening ear or that gentle guiding that they do. And I thought that the three things he gave us were really, really good. He said, validate their feelings. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I see you. I understand. That is, yeah, you are totally, you know, you're totally correct feeling that way. Ask people what they
know.
Well, no, he didn't say.
I don't know if I'd say totally correct feeling that way. You are feeling that way.
They agree that
they are. And I'll be with you there.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. He did raise a caveat after that, even if it might not be the best way to be feeling for their personal
just
best.
Just acknowledge that they are feeling that way.
That they're acknowledging. Ask people what they need. And I thought this was good. It isn't always obvious. Don't guess, because helpful isn't helpful when it isn't helpful. Is that helpful?
That was helpful.
That was definitely helpful. And then after not guessing and finding a way to be helpful, offer something specific like, hey, could you use a ride? Or, you know, can I, you know, take you to the, do you need some groceries? What do you need? You know, offering something that seems obvious once you've figured it out. And I really like this one because it didn't make them have to ask. I hate asking anybody for anything. And I know that's a very, I don't know, maybe it's
something you can work on.
Is that a Southern thing too? Like, don't ask? Or is that like
No? I think it's more of a Northern thing, don't you?
It's definitely a Midwest thing where, you know, it's a, you're strong enough to do this. Just do it. You don't go asking people for help. That doesn't.
Yeah.
But maybe that was just the way I was raised too. Yeah. So, and don't try to fix the person. And I love this. Be the caregiver and let God be the cure giver. I was like, that's pretty good. Come on, Stephen ministers. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. And then obviously none of us are capable of doing this well on our own. We need Jesus. Man, and this sounds all so simplified, but the way Justin put everything together, and it's something that makes it really, I mean, it was quiet. And I always know when people aren't even going like, oh yeah, that's a good point, or they're not talking back, they're listening and they're going, man, I have been in that situation, or man, I know somebody right now that could probably use someone to listen to, or man, I'm that person. I wish I had someone to listen to me. And I guess at the end of the day, when we're going to connect across hurt and we're going to try to be a positive, not a negative, it's a little scary. So if we're stuck in neutral, we're a little bit of fear going on there. Maybe some feelings of inadequacy. I really don't think I'm good enough to even just be a sounding board or just a listener, because I don't see how that can help. How do we start also if, like, hey, I don't think being a Stephen's minister, like, I don't think that's where I belong either. What's the kickstart for someone to answer the call of the Holy Spirit to say, I can do this. I can at least be confident that Jesus maybe doesn't need my help, but he might want it for this person?
Yeah. God usually puts people on our path, and you know, usually when somebody reaches out to you, that's a good indication that that's somebody God's put in your path. It's your opportunity to practice a little bit of this. So
is it okay to, is it, I mean, and this is a question that I feel like just being like, just taking a quick detour, when people will come up a lot of times and I know they want to ask a question about Emily. And I'll say, and it's just like, should I let them off the hook? It'll depend on my feeling too. Like what kind of a day am I having? And I'm just like, I think you want to ask me a question. And it seems like there's something on something you want to ask. And I've had people, yeah, you know, what about this or what about that? Oh man, I'm either like, oh, well, I guess if I'm not feeling it, it might be a little bit of a shorter answer. Try to do it with a smile. But if it is, yeah, thanks for asking. I can see why you might be a little bit nervous. Oh yeah, thanks. You know, like just like to not make that person feel like they're out on a limb to do that. But I also wonder, is that okay to say, hey Ken, it looks like, you know, maybe you're having a rough time, and I certainly don't want to, I don't know, how do you approach someone you think, because sometimes it's scary, even if you're one of those people that don't mind, you know, weird conversations. Again, maybe it's just me overthinking it, but I hate it when I get it wrong when in this kind of a situation, when you feel like, I don't think I helped at all, I hope I didn't make it worse.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. And, you know, the question you're asking is so dependent on circumstances.
Yeah, I know.
Timing. I mean, there's things you can say at one time period that would be completely inappropriate, and yet at a different time it would be okay.
Good.
And
yeah.
So I just, you know, just ask God to give you those skills, and maybe, you know, look into some different resources that can equip you. But again, a lot of times the people that were really the most likely to go ahead and really be able to be there for people that we're already close to, people that we love and care about. And in those cases, it's just okay to be present. You know, just talking to somebody recently who's going through a difficult time period and trying to support another person who's going through a difficult time period. And we're just talking about it and just, you know, oftentimes as a pastor, I'll feel very inadequate in the time and the space that I'm in. I'm like, I don't know what to say here. I know that you're hurting. Yeah. And what people generally remember is not really what you said anyway. It's whether you were there with them, whether you were there in the moment with them, and that you really genuinely care about them and were concerned. So my thing is, it's a whole lot less about what you're saying and a whole lot more about your presence and just being there for them.
That sounds so cliched, but maybe that's the least cliched of all the things that sound cliched, really, is that someone, you know, just wants to know that you care enough to hang out and hang by.
Yeah, you know, I don't know about you, but some of the toughest times I've been through, the things I remember from the people that, through the people that supported me through it, or just, you know, arm around the shoulder and a quick squeeze, and I love you, I care about you.
Yeah.
Here, you know, I'm here with you. I mean, even just the little things. I remember, my grandmother passing away, and my uncle at the time was legal counsel for the North American Division, the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, or one of their legal counsels. And some flowers that had been sent with a message from the North American Division leadership, and it was, you know, they didn't come to the funeral, nor would we expect them to, but just the fact that somebody in that, who knows, maybe it was an administrative assistant that sent them, but it felt a little bit more personal than that, and it was just a nice, nice thing, and you thought, oh, that person. So, you know, there's lots of different things. I'm not the best person at getting gifts and doing stuff like that, but I have other gifts that I'm good at. So if we just all do what we're good at, what God's kind of given us, there's people that they might not comfortable sitting down and talking, but they'd be happy to change the oil in your car for you. Take care of, you know, fix a leaking sink in somebody's house. And, you know, these are all things that God's gifted us with, ways of bringing comfort to people who are needing comfort. And there's a lot of different ways of doing it.
I'm good at plugging holes in tires.
Well, there you go.
Oil changes. Yeah, that's kind of up my alley. No, I'm glad you said that because it kind of when you stop and think about it, like how many times have you been in a spot where you could have really used someone's presence? Mm-hmm. And how many times did you ever leave that space with great advice that really solved anything?
Yeah.
More so than it's like, oh yeah, we just hung out together and and so, you know, maybe just being there is the real gift.
Yep.
And then if asked for, maybe God does have something in your life that you could share or something that could happen that would be appropriate, but maybe just like he said, just letting them get theirs out first.
Yep.
We had a couple of questions in the chat, and someone asked, is it more natural to judge or to just not notice others? Man.
Well, since Justin did all the research for this sermon, I don't know the right answer to that. I think people naturally do. I think we can go both ways. I would say that, you know, I think some people are more inclined to judge and others are more inclined to just kind of not see it in the first place. So I think you can go either way.
Yeah. I always think that not noticing, and again, dear Melanie, is it more with men that we don't notice certain things? Because a lot of times I will find that, I mean, not just my wife or whatever, but just even on staff, like, well, oh, did you notice? And I was like, I walk by this every day. I didn't notice. Maybe like your first one, maybe it is just a humanity thing. Some of us were born to notice. And I feel like overall, I'm a pretty good noticer, more so than a judger. And so, yeah, maybe both ways is just the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Rod asked, how do you feel when you realize someone genuinely is interested in you? And I thought, you know, even if that is just enough of an interest, because I think it's a genuine interest if someone's going to put themselves on the other side of the equation and go, yeah, I'm going to put myself in the crosshairs here and hope for the absolute best. And I think that does just make you, again, making those feelings and just that chance of that person being there with you to make it.
I can't remember the two historical political, I think they were English politicians anyway, but there's a famous story that this person was asked what it was like to hang out with these two different politicians. And the person said, well, with politician A, both are a wonderful night. When you get done with politician A, you feel like he's the smartest person on earth. And when you get done with person B, they make you feel like you're the cool and smartest person on earth.
Hmm.
And that person, and the point of the story generally is that, you know, you can be the person that makes everybody think you're a genius, or you can go ahead and be the person that makes other people feel like they're a genius. And that's the one that will generally, you know, go the furthest. We all like to have people take a genuine interest in who we are and be interested in us. And, you know, I think I've mentioned it before, but I just, the time that I had the opportunity to interview George H.W. Bush, he was just gracious. He really made, he was there. He made you feel cared about. He asked questions about you. It wasn't just an interviewing of him. And then I just watched him after he was done with the interview go and meet all the service people that were there and thank them for their service, ask them where they're from, what was going on. You know, those kind of people make you feel really good. They make you feel seen. They make you feel like you're a valid human being, particularly when it's somebody that you know has a very busy life or in your mind is a very important person. When they take the time out to just care about you and pay attention to you, it just gives you that warm feeling that you're like, oh, my life is valid. I have, you know, I must be worth something.
Hmm. Someone said, perhaps we need insight to first notice those around us that are quietly hurting so that we can have a conversation. Everyone knows about a death in the family, but there are many other hurts that are similarly painful, but not obvious.
It's true.
So that's kind of that description right there. Someone that's willing to not make it all about them, want to know, asking questions, And Anonymous said, I continually ask God to help me to love the ones I love and then to love the ones that are hard to love. And last but not least, to help me love the ones I don't even know I should be loving.
Mm.
That's Anonymous. That's really good. I kind of, you know, it doesn't hurt to continually ask God to help me love the ones I already love. And then the ones that are hard to love, that's a good one. But then the ones I don't even know, that's really good. Rod wanted to know if it was wrong to feel good about helping other people.
I mean, I don't think so.
I don't either. I think there can be a place where, I mean, pride could come, I suppose, if I feel like I'm good for helping people. But I think from just a genuine place of, man, I love to help people whenever I'm given an opportunity. And if, man, if I get it right, it feels good, right? I don't think you can help but feel good.
I guess probably wouldn't be, I mean, maybe it's not right to just do good so that you will be able to pat yourself on the back. But, I mean, is it wrong to see, you know, a beautiful landscape and feel good when you see that? I don't know. I think it's one of those things where...
But how do we evaluate whether our attempts to help is more about feeling better about ourselves than genuinely discovering what their actual need is, T-Cinco?
That's a good question. where's Justin and Melanie right now?
Justin, Melanie. Where's Jeff? You know, Jeff always had the...
Well, T-Cinco, I feel like you could answer that question pretty well too. So, but I don't know. I think that's just putting yourself into a place where you do have time for self-reflection. And I think it's unrealistic to think that you're going to see everything about your character all the time. But I do think it's realistic just to make a habit of taking time for reflection to ask yourself what your motivations are and why you're doing the things you're doing.
What about if you're newer to this level of, I mean, I think since we're kids, we all like to feel like we do something good for someone, but it seems like once you say, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. I want to be more like him. I want to follow his example. The examples that Justin gave in the message were exceptional. But what if, is it okay if in the beginning it's like, you know, what was the name of the song? I'm hooked on a feeling.
Hooked on a feeling.
Right. So like, oh, this makes me feel good. I should do it. Is it okay to just, I mean, to me, all good is good. If someone else is benefiting and I feel good, then isn't it okay if I just am doing it for that reason? But then as a Christian, it should be a little bit more than that though, right? We should be maturing into a place where we're like, man, thank you. Man, I really
hope
that person's
good. It's good to be able to do things that don't feel good, but are important to do. Mm. And so I think that one of the traps can be to only do things that make you feel good. And there are plenty of times where I've gone into do something that I did not think was going to make me feel good. At the end, I felt good.
Mm, yeah.
But I didn't go into it thinking I was going to come out of it feeling good. And so I think it's important for us to not just simply do it because only if you think you're going to feel good at the end of it, but to do it because it needs to be done.
It needs to be done, yeah. Well, Asking said, people so badly want to solve other people's problems rather than giving them the space to process in their own time frame, which is totally legit. I really felt like everyone was really dialed into what he was talking about and taking away good things. And Aaron said, number three is the one I really need to do. I always think I have to fix the emotions of those close to me, especially. I have to learn to tolerate and not to try to resolve everything immediately. And Aaron, girlfriend, I am with you. That is one that for the longest time, it just felt like, again, and that's my personality, is, well, you like see a need, feel a need. Let's get this done. Why are we dragging this out? Let's just fix it. And that way, like, you're going to be happier because it's fixed. I'm going to be happier because I knew how to fix it. And then we all win. When Asking just said, people so badly want to solve it without giving you or that person the space. So the chat was really great this week. And, you know, if you're someone that listens to the podcast remotely, you're not here in the Orlando area, maybe you've never been to Whole Life, you've just found us either through the podcast or through maybe online, I would encourage you to watch on our website, wholelife.church/live, 9:30 and 12 Eastern every week. There is our Whole Life online family is a great place. If you're looking for some place that is grace filled, it's a safe environment. It's a place to ask questions. It's a place to have people pray with and over you. And it's just it's a growing and budding community that has just been growing exponentially. Not only in just connections, we don't know how many of you are in each one of those numbers. When we see a connection, you may have other people that you have over to watch. I know I've heard stories, people, I have this person.
Love that.
And we love hearing those stories. So number one, if you have those and you're watching somewhere and you've never reached out before, would love to hear. podcast@wholelife.church, 407-965-1607. And we'd love to hear you introduce yourself. Number one. Number two, register. And you can stay anonymous. This week we had someone, we had anonymous, we had asking. And so we're totally cool if you would like to reach out, or if you have a question, or you'd like someone to contact you, you can do that at any time. And even in the chat, there's a connect feature. Just say, I'd like to be connected with the pastor. We'll make sure that that happens. And just be a part of that. I know our big group hangs out on YouTube, because I'll admit, if I stay home and watch, and if I'm taking the weekend off, I probably won't get in the chat, and I will go to the smart TV, hit the YouTube, because it's easy. Yep. And I don't have to do anything. So I get why y'all do it. But I'm just saying, if you've never taken the time to ever join the chat, it would be worth your time to do that. Sure. All right. This week upcoming is going to be connecting across religious beliefs. Oh my goodness. Man, this has been.
Keep having an aneurysm every week, Randy, and then you make me nervous.
I'm just saying, hurt. I think Justin did a great job. I think he knocked it out of the park. He gave us great examples. He brought Jesus' life into it. He gave us some good tips that only someone from Stephen's Ministers, tried and true. They've used this, they know it. Socioeconomic, that, we're still getting text messages and stuff about that one. And I have a feeling that religious beliefs, man, where I grew up, it was just like, and part of that was the time and just the idea, but it was like, man, if you're not Adventist, I just feel bad for you because you can't go to heaven. It wasn't always said in as many words, but the theology felt so heavy in that area. And then you're like, well, what do I do with friends that I really, really like that don't believe like me? And are you going to tell them?
Just get prepared not to spend eternity with them is what you do.
Right. And that was one thing that I just always hated. I just felt like, wow, God chooses sides so hard. And then, we'd use the children of Israel to, to bolster that thought process. And then when you get older, you meet so many people that are like, they're like, wow, this person doesn't think like me. They don't anything like me, but I can't imagine a heaven that wouldn't have that person's love for Jesus in it. And so then it makes you start rethinking everything maybe you've heard, you've taught, maybe you grew up this way and you don't understand how any of us could have possibly survived an environment. And many of us didn't for a long time. So I am just totally excited to see where we're headed with this one.
Me too.
Me too. Me too. I like it. And then is this, we have one more after this or two more?
One more.
And that, what's that one about?
Connecting across abilities.
Oh, that's right. We talked about that this morning, didn't we?
We did.
I'm excited about that. I like where, it's a good time to be a member of Whole Life Church, or at least a viewer.
Randy heard the preview for that sermon this morning.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, no, I'm excited. I mean, so I am really excited. And honestly, this has been a great message that I also think has just shown a vulnerability that we have here at Whole Life to say, you know what, maybe we don't have everything figured out, but if we could just love everybody through what we don't agree on and what we don't maybe even know for sure, that'd be a cool alternative to just drawing lines in the sand and saying, you stay on your side and I'll stay on mine.
Amen.
Even though we have this little cabinet here between us, Ken, I feel like we're kin. We're right. Yeah, I feel good about it. See, now there's no Melanie.
No Jeff to wrap things up.
And there's no Jeff to wrap things up. So I will say the other part is if you have a calling, like Justin asked at the end of the message, and you feel like, hey, you know what? Maybe this is my talent. Get in touch with our Stephen ministers. The link to the website on our website is going to be in today's show notes, number one. And two, if you're just wondering what's happening here at church, you're like, hey, I don't know what's happening. Wholelife.church/events. And you can click on that link, which is also there. And that'll take you to all the latest and greatest of what's upcoming.
Ba-boom.
Ba-boom. And that's it. So until next week, we're connect across religious beliefs. I tried to say that with a straight face. No, it's going to be great. It's going to be. I don't care.
I'm going to have a good time.
I think you are. Well, I know. And we had a good time over the last one.
Yeah.
It was worry for nothing. And it was Randy's. It was Randy's worry. But I think it's all going to be fine, guys. I appreciate you all so much. I've seen the numbers continue to grow, and I know that you tell me that you're sharing show with the friends and different people, and that it's a safe place for you to invite friends. And I appreciate that so much. You're totally catching the vibe that we have here at Whole Life. So thank you for doing all of that. And you know what? Have a fantastic week.